Welcome back to Development Dynamics with Maxi. This time we are hosting Karen Wakoli, and we have just you've just experienced quite a bit. Now you're in many positions, many board positions especially, and I was just asking what threads are coming together at this point, you know, in all of this governance roles. Mm-hmm. Are you connecting dots?
Oh yes.
For youth leadership, for yeah. youth gaps.
Youth and women. Mm-hmm. And so I would find myself serving on a board, mm-hmm. and either I would be the only young person or among the very few women in the mm-hmm. room. Mm-hmm. And again, so I started asking the question, mm. where are the women in mm-hmm. the boardrooms? Mm. Where are young people in boardrooms? Mm-hmm. I think I came to the realization that not everybody had the chance to have people around them, like Dr. Manguyu, who mentored me, mm. to mentor them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm bold enough to actually reach out to somebody and say, I would like for you to mentor me in this and that. Mm. I would like to grow in this and that. Mm. I realize that a number of young people are afraid to do that. Mm. Either confidence, self-esteem, or something like mm. that. Mm. And some of the challenges I had mm. myself, like issues around confidence, self-esteem, mm-hmm. and, mm. you know, believing in myself. Mm.
The guy who was coming to Nairobi.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I discover many young people,
mm. like
regardless
that.
Of whether they grew up in the cities or villages, mm. experience that, right. depending on the upbringing, whether mm. they were affirmed by parents mm. or not.
Regardless of gender.
The different challenges they've gone through in life mm. that mm. have ended up shaping who they become. Mm. So confidence is such a big thing for young people.
It is, yeah.
Getting to know self. Mm. I remember... was it 2007? Mm-hmm. Two of my friends and I came together to start an organization mm-hmm. to talk about issues of peace and reconciliation in Kenya, but mm-hmm. looking at the role young people played in the 2007 violence after elections. Mm-hmm. That was George Gashara uh-huh. and Boniface Mwangi.
Right.
The organization was called Picha Mtaani. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, Boni and Gashara pulling me aside and saying, Karen, we have noticed something and we want to confront you on it. And I said, what is it? And they said, how possible is it that you are comfortable addressing thousands of people and you are very confident? Because then I had just represented young people in 2008 at the launch of Vision 2030. And mm. during the launch, there were many individuals, politicians, heads of states and diplomatic corps and, you know. Mm. Mm. And so they said, how possible is it that you're so comfortable and confident addressing thousands of people. Mm. But then when we are in a room like with donors or small groups of people, mm. you just speak once and you keep quiet and the rest of us keep rambling on and on and on. Mm. And I said, I only speak when I have something to say. And they said, no. Mm. Always have something to say. So always speak. Mm. How mm. else will people know mm. you're brilliant? Mm.
So,
and they say, speak mm. with force, like be, mm. you know, like have the oomph. Mm. And so I remember one time we went to this meeting where there were a number of young people and other actors. Mm. And I asked for an opportunity to speak. And each and every person who had spoken before me, mm. all of them men, mm. were very forceful in mm. their speech. Mm. So even me, I took the microphone mm. and I spoke so forcefully. Mm. And guys clapped and I sat down. Then later I went home and I just took a moment to reflect. Mm. How did I do? Mm. Oh, I felt so bad because mm. that wasn't me. Mm. And I wasn't understanding, and I don't think the three of us knew that there's something called personality types and people are different and that in your difference, you're okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be loud
yeah.
to have an impact.
Yeah.
And I then started trying to really interrogate, why am I different? Why am I quiet and laid back and all that, mm. but how come I can go and address people on a podium, mm. thousands of people, and I'm good, mm. but having those random conversations, mm. you mm. know, mm. Is a bit of a challenge.
And what did you nail it down to?
I am introverted. Mm-hmm. I am introverted. Mm. And there are many, there's an amazing book that Bonnie actually gave me to read. It's called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain. Mm. That book was so liberating to me. I discovered I don't have to be out there making noise and speaking forcefully and shouting, but I can be me and be comfortable in my skin. That is my personality type, and yes, I can still make a difference in that. Other people could be extroverts, and yes, they shine in that, but introverts too can shine in whatever trade they choose to trade in.
It's amazing that you almost skipped that story of you, George, and Bonnie working together, and yet it's very significant. And before you even move further, Bonnie's greatest strength, one of Bonnie's greatest strength, is that he almost identifies people's areas of need and gifts people books to go and and stack you from your area through a book. He's done that to me. He's done that to my wife. He's just an amazing person in that way. So big up to Bonnie for stacking Karen in this regard with the book Quiet. Yeah. I know you've done that, and you've been bigged up by many other people with I think he's done that to a lot of people. So, but I want to hear about that particular part because I think you'd moved forward quite a bit.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that part. Yes. So you, George, and Bonnie came together in 2007. Mm. This is slightly post
the election.
2007.
So shortly after the elections, and there was violence.
Yeah.
And we said, no. Young people played such a key part, a central role in the violence. Mm-hmm. Many of them were killed, but then the perpetrators, many of them were also young people. And so we said, let's interrogate this and have conversations with young people and find out what happened. How come we played the role we played in the nation, in the violence? Mm. And it was so sad to hear certain young people in certain regions saying the elders called us and told us to defend our community, defend our land, defend this and that. Mm. I regret killing my neighbor. I regret doing this and that. Mm. I was raped. Mm. I was, you know,
so
victims and perpetrators, most of them, unfortunately, were young women and young men.
Mm. So did you, so this story, so how did you, when you say you came together, how did you, and started listening to these stories, like, did you go, you had the, how exactly? I want to hear the story of doing that together.
Okay.
Because I remember at that time you were probably, what were you? You were a student?
No, I had cleared school.
You had cleared school?
Yes.
Bonnie was doing Bonnie things at Standard, maybe.
And Gashara was also doing Gashara things somewhere.
And George Gashara was, you know, doing he hadn't gone to Heva at the time.
No.
It was way before he had.
Way before.
So all three of you are young at the time.
Yeah.
So you are just friends.
Yes, friends.
Yeah.
Come together. And Bonnie, I think, had worked in a media house where he had taken the photos and the footage of the post-election violence.
Yes.
And so we used those photos, blew them up, and then produce documentaries, and we would then move from one city to another, Nairobi, Kericho, wherever, Mombasa, to then have like street exhibitions,
right?
Have the members of the public, especially young people, come, and then would have conversations, and part of the conversations would then entail counseling for the victims, and even for some of the perpetrators who are haunted by whatever they did. And we're just having like a dialogue forums and sessions to converse amongst ourselves and then see, so what is the way forward? Mm. How do we become more responsible citizens and not cause chaos or violence and maim our fellow citizens?
Okay. Very good to hear your story in that context and the sort of like role you've played there. So we then fast track to now where you are and where we were threading.
So see, my friends then, through my friends, I get to discover personality types, self-aware, because then I just realized I wasn't self-aware. But then I tried to be somebody who I am not.
Yeah.
And many young people struggle with that. Not just young people, by the way. Even adults struggle with self-awareness. And so that's why self-awareness is so critical for every human being, and especially for every leader. You have to be self-aware. So some of the threads were, of course, the need for empowerment of young people. I traveled across the continent and across the world in various fora, interacted with leaders, with young people. And I met certain situations that really made me question a number of things. One of those meetings, I can't remember the year, but I was in Egypt. And I saw a 16-year-old boy in a political party articulating issues of young people. He was a leader of the party, a member of the youth league, articulating issues of young people and talking about the policies they had made, talking about the budgets and accounting for the money and asking for more money for them to do civic education for young people. And I said, wow, 16-year-old. Yet in Kenya and in many of the other African countries, people start engaging actively in politics maybe at 40 or something. Many young people are so aloof and apathetic when it comes to politics, yet politics actually affects our everyday life. Another moment that made me question engagement of young people was in Norway. This must have been in 2009. Again, it was in a political space. 17-year-old lady was the president of the youth league, and she was again articulating issues. They had power, and they had a great relationship with the mother party. And for us, I was part of a different political space and engagement, and I was asking the question, where are young Kenyans in high school? I don't think people ever engage politically other than when electing the prefects. In primary school, the same thing. And maybe that's why it's problematic around election time that IEBC is looking for young people to register as voters. And young people are like, no, I'm not political. Not I won't bread, register. I don't care about politics. Yet politics shape whether we go to school, the schools we go to, the life we live, whether we feed or not, whether... Like, it shapes every aspect of our lives. So that is a question of awareness. Question of agency, I think, also cuts across. I got to discover most of the challenges young people face across the continent are actually cross-cutting. In Kenya, South Africa, Botswana, Nigeria, Ghana, Uganda, Tanzania, issues around employment, issues around meaningful youth engagement in the political space, in the economic space, socio-cultural space, perceptions of young people is also a big challenge, because I realize that many people in society view young people as rowdy, confused, and yes, that might be part of what a majority of young people are, but no, they're not always rowdy. They also just require somebody or people to believe in them, give them some skills, give them an opportunity, and they will thrive. I think we have also, as a society, just put young people at a place where we think or we believe they just need handouts and they will be shepherded to go do whatever it is they are called upon to do. But no, young people need to be engaged in a more meaningful way from generation to generation. It matters because they are the future. They are the present and they are the future. Many of the crops of leaders we have won't be there, let's say, in 2030. But these children and young people of today will be there. So do we have mechanisms where we pass on the leadership baton, where we pass on the values and tell young people and children that, you know what, if you work hard, if you focus, you will actually be successful? I think we've gotten to a time when people just imagine, you know what, all I want is I want to be rich, I want to be wealthy, I want to be like that politician, you know. And I don't need to work hard. I can be corrupt, but for as long as I'm not caught, it's not problematic. You remember that report by the Aga Khan Foundation? That is problematic.
Yeah.
But yet I've also seen situations that when young people are empowered, when they are shown the right way, when they are supported, when they are coached, when they are handheld, they do amazing things.
Wonders, yeah. Wonders. Oh, wonderful. And so nice that those dots begin coming together for you.
Yeah.
So what do you do with all of that?
Wow. Mm-hmm.